with today's Western New York conversation about race. I'm Thomas O'Neill White. All week long, we are sitting people of color down with those who aren't to talk of the issues of the day. Still to come this week, we'll hear from business people, clergy, and educators, but today, two activists. Linnea Brett was standing up for racial justice, talks with Orlando Dixon from the Partnership for the Public Good.
White privilege is an undeniable reality.
I would say it's social, political, economic benefits or lack of disadvantages, because it's not always a benefit. Sometimes it could just be a lack of a disadvantage, all based on having white skin. I mean, our president in the White House right now is the most shining and glaring example of white privilege. Basically can say whatever he wants, do whatever he wants, and maintain near a 50% approval rating. I constantly see people doing things that I can't do. For instance, if I get upset in a grocery store, I can't scream and yell, even if the situation warrants me screaming and yelling. I have to stay reserved. I have to stay calm. I have to know the rules better than anyone else.
I come from a working class family from Niagara Falls. I lived in a very multiracial neighborhood and went to a multiracial school as a young kid. These weren't environments that were free of racism by any means. And in fourth grade, we moved to Youngstown, New York, and my new neighborhood and school were almost 100% white. So there was a huge cultural shift. Most of my classmates didn't know any people of color and got their information about race from pop culture and from their families. So racism was very normal.
My aunt was basically my grandmother. She took care of me a lot on the weekends. And luckily, she was a civil rights activist in Colorado. So she taught me a lot about, you know, judging people by their character and not by their color, because that's what they're doing to you, and that's the part that's wrong. I did, however, build up a callus, an awareness of white people. I couldn't be myself around white people because I felt like I was waiting for, you know, the other shoe to drop. Like something might happen, so I don't want to fully express myself.
While white privilege is very real and is undeniable, we also live under a system of racial capitalism. Save for the very few wealthy elites, that system actually doesn't work for most of us, white folks included. And white people's silence and complicity in racial capitalism have enabled those at the top to accumulate massive wealth while the vast majority of people struggle.
I feel like there's a sense of anger when discussing black issues. I feel like there's anger in response to that. I also feel like there's pushback because of the sense that it's happened so long ago, or, you know, thinking about slavery and Jim Crow laws. So the anger is one part of it. That's something I don't understand.
My white skin and the conditioning I have received as a white person, it has given me so many different blinders and obstacles to understanding the reality that black folks live in. My responsibility, having inherited this legacy of whiteness, to actively commit myself throughout my lifetime to learning all of the things that I don't know and all of the things that I've been taught that aren't true, and addressing those with systemic change.
First of all, you need support from the local level all the way to the state level. It can't be one level of government working alone to try to end segregation. At Buffalo, you need city, county, and state level to all be in sync. Acknowledge the history of Buffalo and like what's happened here. You have to have the difficult conversations of racial disparities and banking in 2015 was still redlining communities. So segregation is still happening in the worst kind of ways.
A lot of white folks get really caught up on what we're conditioned to believe, that gain for someone else is a loss for us personally. And that way of thinking is itself a manifestation of white supremacy. And I would just always like to invite my fellow white folks into the idea that liberation for everyone is expansive, it's bountiful, and a world where everyone has what they need to thrive and to live in dignity is possible. And we just have to do the work to create it together.
That was Linnea Brett in conversation with Orlando Dixon. Tomorrow, we'll bring you a conversation with two educators, Daniel Robertson and Jeremy Besch. And extended versions of Western New York Conversations About Race are online at WBFO.org. And if you'd like to be part of a future conversation, send an email to news@WBFO.org with the subject line race. Thomas O'Neill White, WBFO News.